Amen. Presence of God is powerful in here this morning. Amen. You can feel the anointing. I'm glad it's loud in here. I hope you were louder this morning worshiping the King than you are worshiping Kansas City or Philadelphia tonight. Yeah. Yeah, I used the word correctly. Okay. Welcome to First Open Bible. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm glad that you joined us. My name, for those who weren't here in the beginning, my name is Pastor Harrison. I'm the lead pastor. I'm not the preacher today, but I just want to introduce our speaker as I introduce our series again. We're excited about this monthly series that's titled Me, We, and Us. It was fun starting out the series last week. I was able to preach on a misunderstood gift, the gift of singleness. I preached on the unmarried, that half of 18 years or older in America are actually not married. And so it's not often you hear from a preacher preaching to that situation. So if you weren't here last week, or you fell asleep or something, I don't know, or you were on your phone a lot or whatever, back row, whatever it is. Okay. By the way, they report to me they can see you up there. I'm just playing. But seriously, tell me. This week, how it went. We're online. You can find us on YouTube or Facebook. But this month's series is designed to help people see that how their relationship with God actually impacts all other relationships in their lives, romantic or not romantic. No matter if you're single, you're happily married, or it's complicated right now, we're going to learn that putting God first will always help us love and serve others in our life. Now, Friday night, we had a wonderful Valentine's banquet. Woo! Amen? Everybody go, woo! We had 40 couples there at the Doubletree. It was awesome downtown, and we had a great time together. We dressed up. We had a great meal, delicious dessert, a good conversation, and we had a fantastic teaching from our guest speaker. So I invited our guest speaker from Friday night, Reverend Brian Davis, to come this morning to preach on relationships. Just a little bit about him is this. Brian and his wife, Paula, they live in Pella, Iowa, and they're not Dutch, but you are still much. Amen. I've heard it. I'm married a Dutch, and I'm German mostly, and they're like, oh, nice try. Okay. He and his wife, they've pastored for over 25 years, and they're currently the primary presenters at Developing Great Relationships. And what that is, it's a biblically-based marriage enrichment ministry there in Pella, Iowa. They travel locally and nationally as guest speakers. They love their two children, Amber and Chase, and their spouses and their two grandbabies. And I'm very excited. Church, will you give Reverend Brian Davis a warm First Open Bible welcome as he comes to bring the word?
So great to be in the house again. I got a gift for you, Pastor. I want to bless the pastor this morning. He was so kind the last time I was here, I didn't bring a handkerchief. And I'm a sweater sometimes. Just hang in there with me this morning. And you're thinking, how could he sweat with the marriage message? I'll be honest with you right now, my spirit man is alive. And I'm ready to get to the altar time. I feel like there are people on the verge, listen, on the verge of your seat right now, ready to just get things right with God. You can't explain it. You're like on the edge of your seat. And I can just sense that. So hang tight. But my daddy always taught me, because brother, it's in my stack, and I don't know which one was yours, but my daddy says if you ever borrow something, you were kind enough to give me yours, to always return it better than you had it. So I went to a men's store in town. Oh, hey. And got you 100% cotton. 100% cotton.
Three of them.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's good.
So.
I'm going to let you borrow this next time.
I love it. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad you came today. Tell your other neighbor, you about to get rocked. You about to get rocked. Hang on. Friday night, we had a good time, but what happens at Doubletree stays at Doubletree. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, we had a blast. We had a good time. A man came up to me, a husband, he says, Brian, I just want to know, are you going to be like getting on us tonight? I said, no, I'm saving that for Sunday morning. I'm teasing. I want all of our husbands. I want everybody, just be calm. And we're going to look at some scripture today. We're really going to unpack some scripture today. But Pastor Harris and Pastor Sarah, thank you. God bless you for inviting me to come. And it's an honor. It's always a privilege. I love the both of you. My wife sends her love. We talked 9 times yesterday on the cell phone. My wife is not able to be here. We travel together, 98% of the time. And she's back in Pella. We have 4 couples that we're ministering to called Marriage Love Restored. She is the main chef this weekend. It's really an event that we do once a month, but it's for couples that are struggling. We've got one couple that's there. We keep everything confidential, but they're 2 doctors. They have children, and they just said, we like each other. We just don't love each other any longer. We've lost the love. And my wife says, honey, God is doing a work in their life. And so it's happening right there in Pella, Iowa, and we're just thankful to be. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Let's talk about marriage today. The Bible, you can write this down. The Bible records the creation of marriage in the 2nd chapter. The 2nd chapter of Genesis. We don't have that scripture, but it's just jot this down, but you'll be familiar with this. Most of you will. The word says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Even if you've never read that in your Bible, you've heard it probably in a wedding. You've heard those words straight from the Bible. She shall be called woman. Everybody say woman. For she was taken out of man. For this reason, our identity is such under attack right now in this world. And you know what? The devil is a liar. Somebody say amen. And I'm just telling you, our identity, because we need to know, listen men, our identity, a lot of us men put our identity in our work. Because that's what we do. We're good at it. But God's saying, remember, your identity as a believer is in Christ Jesus. And it needs to be firm there for all of us. It's important. But it's being attacked. But God's doing an amazing thing. And it continues to say this. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They will become one flesh. Everybody shout, one flesh. So listen, God, at the beginning of Genesis, he not only creates, but he not only defines, but he establishes marriage, not man. God establishes it. So let me give you a few stats this morning. Pastor hit on one of them. Iowa's actually one of the lowest states in this area, in the United States. It's in the top 6 lowest divorce rates, but I'm going to tell you what that number is. We got this fresh off the press. But currently right now, the national divorce rate just in America is 47 to 48%. So that's 2 out of every marriages are ending in divorce. Currently, right now. Iowa, it's lower. You ready? It's only, but it's still a big number, 42%. So it's still a high number. This is what I found interesting, though. Here's 2 more stats that these are brand new. They came out this year. It's super new. You might want to jot these down, but it says this. This is taking a survey of couples that have been divorced for more than 5 years after the divorce. 67% wish they had never divorced. Now, if you're sitting here today and you've been through divorce, and I have not, but I know people and I've counseled and I've pastored people that have gone through that, they liken the word divorce to death. It is a death in the family. But I want to tell you something. If you're here today, I'm not saying that you're going to sit back. You're married now. You're not sitting back today and going, wow, maybe I should have. No. You're in that marriage that God has you in right now. So I don't want you walking out of this place defining or hearing something that you didn't hear. But it is interesting. That's an interesting number. The 4th one I want to give you is very interesting. Couples that tend to get help finally are 7 years too late. That's the newest. The newest stat right now, 7 years too late. So in a room this size, I would venture to say that there are some really great marriages in the room. I would also venture to say we've got some good marriages in the room. I would also like to say that maybe we have some average marriages, don't you say amen. Don't you bump your spouse. Look straight at me. Don't look around. Okay? Don't go anywhere. Stay with me. But I would imagine this too, that in this room, we have some marriages that are struggling. Can I tell you something? My wife and I had a major struggle in our marriage, year 7, year 8. They tell you all these numbers. Well, the first 2 years are your toughest. Year 7, year 8 can be really one of your tough seasons. There's some truth to some of that. But we went through we were in ministry full time. God was blessing. We had 2 small children. And it was an amazing time of our life. And we got to a place of an impasse that we were bumping heads. And we just needed somebody to help build the bridge. And I am so glad for the household of faith, men and women of God that spoke into our life, pulled us in, told us to slow down. You're going to win the world, but you're going to lose your family. Told me to really slow it down, focus in, and got some help. And I'm so glad for a marriage conference. Marriage conferences are so needed, especially in the world that we're living in today, but not just any marriage conference. We've got the hoopla. I love having fun. We've got all that, but there's something about being biblically based. Because today, you may be here today. I don't know where your walk is with Jesus, but you may be here today, and you're going to hear some things for the very first time. Maybe you've been married for 10 to 15 years. We're going to unpack a passage of Scripture in a moment, but not just yet, but in a moment we will be. So this morning, I believe that the Apostle Paul gives us hope today, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 5 that really pertains to marriage that I want to help unpack for you today. But I need all the single ladies, all the single men, all the students, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to stay with me this morning. I need you to hang in there with me. Don't get caught up in Super Bowl later today. Don't get caught up with your friends or what's going to happen, where you're hanging out. I want you to hear this. You're going to get some things today. You're going to get some nuggets today from the Word of God that will help you and your family. It's like what Pastor shared just a minute ago. You want to leave a legacy. You know how you leave a legacy for your family? You live a legacy. You just live it. That don't mean we're living perfect. Oh my gosh, if you just pulled back the curtains with Paul and I, there are times we've had some of our best heated discussion on the way to church. I can get very evangelistic, if you get my drift, and come in like this to the church. Hey, how's everybody doing? Because I've raised my voice to my spouse. God's not pleased with that, but I'm saying we're human. We're human. And God has a wonderful way to take everything that we have, good stuff, bad stuff, broken stuff, and he's a God of exchange. If you have ever experienced the God of exchange, he exchanged his forgiveness for our sins. He is the God of exchange. If you've experienced that, can you give Jesus a hand clap? Come on, you've experienced it. But before we unpack Paul's perspective, sometimes it's a good idea to hear other people's perspectives on marriage. Somebody say amen. No better perspective than to hear the way children see marriage. So I've got a few for you. One of my favorites is Eric, who's age 6. He was asked the question, what is marriage exactly? He said, marriage is when you get to keep your girl and don't have to give her back to your parents. I love what old Pam said. She's age 7. She says, when she was asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? She said, when they're rich. Let me back up here. Pastor, you want to hear this. You want to give this to your daughter. Not just rich, but born again rich. That'd be okay? That'd be all right? So let's just say that today. I love this with just a few more. Roger, age 8, was asked, how can people make love last? 8-year-old Roger said it. I could just see it. Don't forget your wife's name. That will mess up the love. How many of you know Roger ain't lying? Y'all okay saying ain't? You know, there are some churches I've been into. God, I'm there to support the pastor, but they're like, we don't use that word ain't. It was good, but we don't use that word ain't. So pastor will fill my ear later if that was something. I'll do my best tonight. But in the South, we say that word. It's just part of it. So, oh, I love this. Freddie, age 6, was asked, what's the right age to get married? Freddie replied, no age is good to get married at. You got to be a fool to get married. Oh, my. Out of the mouth of babes. Okay, I got to tell you my favorite. Ready? This is my boy Ricky. He's 10 years old. When asked how best to make a marriage work, you might want to write this one down, folks. Ricky said this, tell your wife she looks pretty even if she looks like a truck. That's my favorite. How many know there's some truth to what Ricky said, but let's unpack what the Apostle Paul has to say this morning. Somebody shout amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul is going to unpack some things for us today that I think is going to give us some insight, and it's also going to surprise some of you what the Apostle Paul says. So if you have your Bibles, we'll have it on the screen. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Pastor Harris, outstanding word that you did last Sunday on singleness. But I'll be honest with you, the one thing I drew into, I'd never heard of the white demon. I just never heard of that. Y'all been around him, I just never heard of that. So it's just not a white demon to me yet. I'm from the South. I don't get a lot of snow. So I welcome the snow. I love it. But somebody told me one day will come, you'll call it a white demon if you stay around here long enough. Look at verse 22. This is a very powerful, powerful, packed scripture. If the divorce rate is 2 out of every 4 and God ordained marriage, God created marriage, and the divorce rate is at an all-time high, how many of you know that maybe his plan is better than our plan? Maybe this, you've heard this, his ways are higher than our ways. This is one of the higher ways. We're going to talk about this today. Young people, you'll get a lot of this. I promise. Hang in there with me. This is verse 22. It says, wives, be subject. I'm reading out of the NASB. You may be seeing one that says submit. But it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. We're going to jump into that in a moment. As Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has also loved the church, and I love this, and gave himself up for her. We're going to come back to that in a moment. So that he might, what? Sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. We just had a conversation with a friend about this last night. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Verse 28, so husbands ought to also to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his own wife loves himself. That's kind of odd. We're going to talk about that later. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Verse 30, because we are members of his body, everybody say, we are members. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 32, this mystery is great. Everybody say, this mystery is great. I'm gonna hope the Holy Spirit's gonna help us bring some light to this. But I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, verse 33, last one, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see it that she respects her husband. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. Thank you, Lord, for just visiting us in such a place today, in such an hour and time. And we're just so grateful that Jesus, you have come by the presence of the Holy Spirit and is resting upon this place today. Oh, just continue, Lord, to wrap your arms around this place. Wrap your arms around marriages, around individuals, Lord, around our godly, our lovely singles, our students, our children. children, wrap your arms around them. It is the body of Christ that you died for. And we're so thankful for people. We're so thankful for people. People we're so thankful for. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Do you remember that word that I had for your church the last time I was here? Make room. I'm starting to kind of understand that a little bit, brother. It just hit me in my prayer. I don't know if that's it, but it can be other things, but make room. It just, wow, y'all look good today. Look at your neighbor and say, you look good. I heard somebody over here just said, I know I do. I just heard that. Come talk to me afterwards. This is good. I like to get to know you. You're what we call fool yourself. I love that. Oh, boy. So I need you to strap in, okay, just for a few moments. I'm going to do my best to keep your attention, but the Lord's going to speak something in your life. I want you to strap in because there's going to be a shift. Everybody say shift in your thinking. I hope to God there is today. But at times, it's going to come at you like a tornado with grace, love, mercy, all that kind of good stuff. But let me tell you what blew me away, because I was thinking through the message this week and really just trying to unpack this, because anytime you're going to speak on marriage and the home, when it deals with the home, many times you draw from your own personal experiences. I shared some of those Friday night of Paul and I, some things that we do as date time to weave a web of intimacy for our relationship. And we continue to do that as empty nesters. But I really felt, Pastor, that the Lord wanted me to unpack this, but let the scripture speak to itself. I just feel that today. You need to hear this. So let me show you this slide. It's 2 verses 9. I wanted to make a slide out of this so you could see this. Everybody see this. Here's what blew me away. That you ladies only get 2 verses in that passage, and us men get 9 verses in this whole section. My wife told me you're going to get that response. She told me, I don't know about you, Pastor, but I preach it to my wife. When my wife preaches, she preaches to me. We just encouraging one another. She says, baby, you'll get some reaction out of that. It's almost like God is saying, you ladies get it quick. Stay with me, men. But you men, it's going to take 9 whole verses for you guys to figure this out. And here's what's crazy. When I think about that, it's really because, when I think about that, is it really because we're slow? Don't answer that. Or we just don't get it. Don't answer that. Or it just takes that much more time. I want to tell you something this morning. As I started to really think through about today, there is a principle I have learned over the years. I don't think I've ever seen it disproven. And I'm not saying that there could be some in this place today that disprove it. And God bless you. That's wonderful. Share with me after service. But listen to me. I'm not saying there's exceptions to this, but of why God is focusing on the men in this passage. But this is important. This is what I found out. I've got a slide for you. A husband living passionately for God inspires the wife to do the same. But the opposite is rarely true. Now just go with me this morning. When I've watched and I have counseled marriages, many over the decades, when a man is passionately, everybody say passionately, passionately pursuing God, in love with God, I've watched his wife and his family go along with him. Every time. But when it's happened the opposite way, hang in there with me, a wife is pursuing God and the husband is not, it rarely has changed. I'm not saying it's impossible. I believe we've got some miracles in this place today, maybe, but it can be a huge hurdle to jump. It can be. What are you saying, Brian? And I just believe this morning, I have this sense that the Apostle Paul really wants to challenge us, and he wants to challenge the husbands in a good, graceful, loving way, because he loves you. He loves that spouse of yours, and his ways are higher. So if we turn anything off today, don't do it yet. Don't turn me off. Please don't be this way. Please. Well, I've been married for 45 years. He can't tell me anything new. Maybe not. That's great, but I'm glad you're here. And if your marriage is great, I love that, share it with others. Invite them out to eat. If you see a couple that's struggling or a younger couple, say, hey, I'm buying you lunch today after church. Come go with me. We need to model that. Model that. That's being discipled. Somebody shout amen. Whew, don't get me started. I get excited about that kind of stuff. So the best way I could explain the challenge for us men, just for a moment, is when I come across this incredible story of a single mom. Hear this. And this is what she was saying. A mother was preparing pancakes for her son. Kevin, who was 5, and Ryan, who was 3. And the boys started to argue of who was going to get the first pancake. Some of you in this room go, man, my kids do that every morning. Off the skillet that's hot. And their mother saw this as a great opportunity to teach them a Bible lesson in the moment. The kids were fighting. It's my pancake. No, it's my pancake. Then the mom says to both of them, Ryan and to Kevin, if Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait for the next one. And at that statement, Kevin turned to his younger brother and says, you be Jesus first this time. Woo! How many know Kevin wanted that pancake? So men, are you ready for this? Let me challenge you this morning. I ain't picking on you. This is a good thing. Paul is giving us in this passage of scripture, this is really important challenge. Write this down. Men have to be Jesus. Stay with me this morning. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. That's the challenge of Paul. He says that I'm about to tell you is this. You have got to be Jesus on this. Let the pancake slide. I love these godly women in here, these wives. None of them went, amen, brother. Preach it. You didn't do that. We're learning together. It's good. Let me explain to you just for a moment. Because listen, this is important. I want to help you for a minute on being Jesus, because there's a lot of sides to Jesus. Now, you got to hear this part, because I don't want you walking out of here going, oh my gosh, he's not even telling the Bible. Hang with me. It's in the Bible. We're going to see it right here in a moment. I want to explain this to you. Paul is giving in this passage some incredible insight. Amen? Because it's not always going to be, listen to me, the all power and authority Jesus. Stay with me. Or teach your sermon on the mount, Jesus. It's not the I've got Satan under my foot, Jesus. Yes, he is all of that. You ready for this, men? The illustration that we just read that we get from this is what I call the cross, Jesus. Jesus going to the cross. It's important that we hear this. Here is the book of Ephesians. That's who you get. This is what he says, and it's huge. Let me tell you what the cross, Jesus, means. If you'll do me a favor back there in the media, Ephesians 5:25, you could probably pop that back on the screen, but it says this. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And sometimes, listen, we miss this last part because we don't like it. Don't say amen or nothing, just stay solid. We just being honest. We just don't like it. But it says gave himself. Every one of us say gave himself. This is the cross Jesus that we're looking at this morning. If you're a single mom in this place today, listening online, you're a superhero. In my book and in my wife's book, you're a superhero. Why would you say that? What are you saying? I'm just telling you, you're a superhero. When I think about my role as a husband, a father, it's hard enough doing this with my wife. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. But to think about you filling both of those roles, you're a superhero. God bless you. And God is helping you. I know that. So let's go back just for a moment. a little bit more time with our husbands. Throw that last verse up on the screen, Ephesians 5:25. When he says, husbands, it's in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave, everybody say gave, himself up for her. Do you know what the Apostle Paul just said? You need to jot this down if you're taking notes. This is powerful. Marriage is most like the crucifixion of Jesus. I'm telling you, we're going. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going somewhere. It's going to help you. It's all going to come together. Stay with me this morning. Stay with me. Hang in there. Men, get ready. What the Apostle Paul does is he says, men, you are shown a cross for our leadership. Not a throne. Look at your neighbor again. Say, neighbor, we're going somewhere. He doesn't show them a throne, but sometimes that's what we think. Hang with me. All you wives, be subject to me and in everything. And the Apostle Paul says, no. That's not your position. Your position, husbands, is the cross. That last line changes everything. The Bible says he gave himself up for her. Jot these three things down I've got for you. I think I've got a slide for these. Christ-like leadership in the marriage means this. Ready? Number one, I must embrace crucifixion, not dictatorship. Boy, I tell you what, that blessed my heart to hear a bunch of men just say amen. That blessed my heart. I'm not talking about there's times. I'll say this in a marriage. This is a whole other message. I think something with two heads is a monster. Very clear. There are times in my life with Paul and I, we do this all the time. When it's a big decision, I bring her in because we complete one another. I value her, but she standing right here would amen me and she would preach it better than I would. But when it comes down to the final decision that we have worked through, but we didn't come to an agreement. We would sit on it for a while, but we didn't come to an agreement, and I felt like we still needed to go this direction. You know what she does? She says, honey, I'm right behind you. Let's move forward on it. And there's been times we've done that, and things have fallen apart. And you know what she's done? God bless her soul. She didn't go, I told you so. She says, honey, it's okay. We'll have another time. It'll be okay. I'm not perfect. I'm trying to make the best decision I can with the Lord. Amen. I'm trying to hear his voice in those moments. So I do want to say that for everybody. And that's some to the world, that can look like dictatorship, but it's not. It's God ordained so that God can bless your marriage beyond anything you could comprehend. It's amazing. I don't lead because my check is bigger than your check. I know nobody does that. I don't lead because I'm the breadwinner. Paul says, you want a healthy marriage, you choose crucifixion and not dictatorship. Number two, got two more for you, or one more. In crucifixion, you give most and receive least. This gets tough. This gets tough. If we can champion beyond this, your marriage goes to a whole other level. What are you saying, Brian? It's not a matter of I'll do this, but only if you'll do this for me. That's not crucifixion. Now, we have those light moments. My wife and I do. Hey, baby, you give me a massage on my back, I'm going to massage your feet. I hope I can say that in church. Hope we're okay with that. And boy, there's been times in our bedroom where that has happened. And she comes up now and she says, baby, if you rub my feet, I will give you a back massage. So we use those moments lighthearted. It's okay. But listen, who do you think got the best part of the deal in crucifixion? We did. Somebody shout amen. We got the best part of the deal, right? And Jesus has died for us, so it's giving most and receiving less, least. Hear me. It's going to get better, though. Number three, taking notes. When I choose that crucifixion, that form of leadership, it means embracing, I've got a slide for you, embracing the cross means I forgive inexhaustibly. Inexhaustibly. What are you saying? Forgiveness becomes a part of our nature. If it's not there right now, that's not something that you example. Ask the Lord to help you. I want to be like Christ. It's important. My wife and I keep short accounts. There'll be a time where, you know, you say something, men, you've been there. We say something, and then the doors are slamming, and the pots are jingling, and somebody's with me, and the car door, and they're silent in the home, and you're wondering, what did I do? We keep short accounts now. You know why? I got tired of living that way. And you know what? I did it to my wife, too, at times. And I'd stop, I'd say, baby, what have I done to upset you? And sometimes it's still quiet. And I go, when you're ready, please let me know. I'm not going anywhere. And then we talk about it, and we get forgiveness over it. And sometimes, 90% of the time, it's a misunderstanding. 90% of the time it is, when you really stop and think about it. So, forgiveness becomes a part of our nature. It becomes a part of all that we do. So the reason why this is so important is because crucifixion goes right to the heart and makes people vulnerable. When you choose the cross, Jesus, it humbles you and also those around you. So now you say, Brian, show me that. Here's powerful. If we'll do this, we're going to talk about this. I've got a slide for you. Philippians 2. If you have your Bibles, Philippians 2. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible. I like the translation, Philippians 2, in this passage, 5 through 11. As we together, we begin to embrace this, let's look at this together. What happens? Look at this, verse 5. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God. But listen, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave, a servant, and becoming like men. Look at verse 8. And he humbled himself. Humbling is not a weakness. I'm about to show you, when we begin to humble ourselves before each other, before in our marriage, something begins to happen. God begins to elevate. How do I know that? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 8. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death, sacrifice, on a cross. Look at verse 9. Yet it was because of this that God raised him up. Who raised him up? God raised him up, because he's doing it God's way. There's a God's way here. God raised him up to the what? Heights of heaven, gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you believe that this morning, can you give Jesus a great big hand clap? Woo! He's good. He's got your marriage. His hand, his finger is on the pulse of your marriage. Let him do something in your life. It's powerful. So, can we just take a moment? Think about this. As we lay off, all your rights and choose the way of a servant. Everybody shout servant. I should have had a slide for this, but you're going to have to grab it. Then the Bible says, then God begins to set you up as a leader. The Bible says, then God begins to set you up as a leader. If you set yourself up as a leader, trust me, that leadership will come down. But let God set it up through humility. Boy, it's difficult at times. Watch that go up, because that's the plan of how God does this. Everybody say, his ways are higher than my ways. So we get asked this a lot. What makes a great marriage? We get asked this a bunch. One of our main mantras in the marriage ministry is this: serve your spouse ahead of yourself. Write that down. Serve your spouse. I'll add this word. Cheerfully. I'm going to go this side. Cheerfully serve your spouse ahead of yourself. If we'll grab a hold of this, just in just a moment, it will revolutionize your relationship. Not because Brian, word of God. Look at this. Look at this. This is just empowering to the men and women today. This will take your marriage to a whole new level. When we intentionally find ways to serve each other. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. What makes a great leader? Serve. What makes a greater leader? Serve more. Oh my. I didn't go backwards on that. I went forward. See, serve more. When this is modeled in our homes, and it's modeled in our workplace, and my goodness, and it's modeled here because I can see it and feel it and experience it. But when servanthood is modeled in the church, in the house, matter of fact, it ought to be there the best. But when it's in the household of faith, listen to me, it draws people. It says, oh, wow, hold on, they're loving each other. They're serving one another. This isn't what I was raised up in. This is odd to me. The culture's not saying that today. This is power. This kind of love, the cross Jesus love, this is important. When this is modeled, the world begins to see and experience Jesus in such a beautiful way without one word. You want to reach your neighbor? Serve them. Find ways to serve them this week. Boy, I don't want to get there. Oh, this is good. This kind of love we're talking about is the cross Jesus love. It's passionate. It's purifying. It's providing. I've got notes for it, but I don't have the time to unpack that this morning. I'll save it for another time because I want to bring this to a point here for us to really take inventory. Maybe this morning you come from a background of a dysfunctional family. Maybe you didn't have a wonderful role model at home with your parents. Can I tell you something today? You're in good company. What are you saying? Because when you begin to look at the people that God chose throughout the Old and New Testament, and he uses today to fulfill his purposes in the earth still today for his kingdom. Listen, those stories are our stories. We can be encouraged by it. Can I tell you something? No matter what your upbringing may have been, good or bad, Jesus is our example on a healthy marriage, not your parents. Somebody shout amen. If you had godly parents to show you that, God bless you. I had some godly parents, but I had some friends that did not, that I grew up with. But my goodness, you get to change. You get to make a turnaround right now because you're getting truth. You were raised up in a dysfunctional family. Today's a new day. You're starting a new shift. It's that old thing is over. I'm starting out new, and I'm going to leave a legacy for my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. That's how important it is that we're talking about today. It's powerful. He didn't say love your wife as your dad did. It's love your wife as Jesus loved the church. And today we have the same, glory be to God, we've got the same access to get that right. Somebody shout amen. This is important. Paul says, gentlemen, I'm working you this morning. Please put back on the screen. It's Ephesians 5. It's hit the 28 through 30. I'm going to close. Starting with verse 28. That's my first close, everybody. My first. Don't hold to me. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, I just felt something like somebody went, don't do that. Don't do that in here. Just leave your spouse alone. It's okay. Put your arm around them and say, hey, honey, it's a new day. Let's just have a good time. So he who loves his own wife loves himself. That's odd. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes. Everybody say nourishes. Cherishes. Everybody say cherishes. Just as Christ, this is amazing, men. This is exciting, ladies. Husbands and wives, this is amazing. Because verse 30, we are members of his body. Let's unpack this real quick because you got to get a hold of this. The Apostle Paul was saying, if a man ignores his wife's needs, he's hurting himself. He is. This is good. That's what he's saying. It's like when you don't take care of yourself physically, you ignore her needs, the home becomes sabotaging. And when it's all about you, you're sabotaging the home and not even thinking about it. We actually give a book out. Don't throw this slide up yet. I'm going to give a pre-toot to before we look at it. Go ahead and get your phones ready. Those of you that want to take pictures, husbands and wives, this will be a good time to take a screenshot of the screen. We actually give a book, hand it out, in our Marriage Love Restored that we're doing this weekend, and it's His Needs and Her Needs. How many's ever heard of that book? Some of you. Oh, awesome, awesome. It's powerful. So we use this in the Marriage Love Restore. These are marriages that are on the brink of divorce. But it's a book called His Needs, Her Needs, and I highly recommend it. And in that book, Dr. Harley takes 15, you got to hear this before we see the slide, 15,000 questionnaires. Everybody say, that's a whole bunch. 20 years of counseling, and he listed down 5 major needs of women and 5 major needs of men. This is really good. Let's put the 5 major needs of women, or excuse me, of women and men. This is important for you to look at. Check it out. This is where you can take a picture. So let's go through these. 5 major needs of women. Number 1, affection. This isn't just hands on them, but feeling protected and cherished. Number 2, conversation. When we say conversation, we're not saying, hey, honey, did you fill up the car with gas? It's not that. It's conversation. We talked about that Friday night, ways to engage and intentionally conversate. If you didn't get to make it in your couple here today, you didn't get to make Friday, talk to somebody. Compare some notes. I'm telling you, it'll help you. Number three, honesty and openness. This is big. This is a big deal. You're able to go deeper in those conversations. 4, financial support. And number 5, family commitment. They want to know you're going to be there. It's huge. All right, everybody got that? Got your phones ready? Now, let's look at the screen, the 5 major needs of men. Well, all the men are like, it's like, here we go, it's good. Now, we're going to talk about these because some of the women just immediately saw the list and they bristled. Just a moment. They were like, not me, what? Listen to me. Number 1, sexual fulfillment. Like that surprises you. Okay. Number 2, we're going along. Recreational companionship. This blows my mind. This one kind of blew me out of the way here. They just want something they can do together. Men, you made a list Friday night. What are some things we can do together? We talked about that. Ladies, too. Number 3, don't throw bricks at me. Hang on. An attractive spouse. Let me be real clear about that. What that means is after you get married, you're not walking around the house in your old pajamas all day, every day. Come on now. It's okay to pluck those eyebrows. And my wife, when I was preaching it to her, she said, baby, add this. It's okay to paint the barn. It's just okay. My wife said that. So if you're upset about that, ladies, you talk to my wife. Amen? Everybody good? It's okay. And all the men, don't say nothing. Okay. Number 4. This is interesting. Domestic support. Do you know what that means? It's not finances. Not just that. They're talking about it. When they come from the battlefield, a hard day at work, they want to come to a refuge. They may not tell you that, but they want that. They want to know the things that are good at home, some pieces at home, and knowing they have a place to go. Look at number 5, admiration. Ladies, respect. We just read at the end of Ephesians. It says, make sure. Even sometimes you feel like they don't deserve it, Paul's saying, step forward. I'm going to speak into your marriage. There's a way higher than your way. And you're going to bless your husband. You're going to love him anyhow. You're going to respect him. You're going to speak life about him. I'm just telling you, we got to do that to each other. But it's important. Now remember, y'all only got 2 verses. Us men got 9. So I had to spread the wealth just a little bit. It's okay. See, because it's important at all times, even when you feel you're not receiving respect. The Apostle Paul mentions this about the wife. And I want to bring it to a close. There are no problems too big to solve. Brother Brent, would you mind a little bit on the keys? Would you be okay with that? Man, there's something about that. And man, Pastor and Sarah, that praise team here is amazing. If you saw me jumping and twirling, because I tell you what, I don't get that everywhere I go. And I'm a worshiper at heart. I don't know if you know, I led worship a lot of years. I don't even know if Brent knew that. I led worship a whole lot of years. So this morning when my wife called me, I said, baby, we get to worship the Lord. I'm excited. I got my dancing shoes on, literally. I got my dancing shoes on. We ready to worship the Lord? Yes, yes. And so y'all came into that. Hey, listen, give the Lord a hand clap. He's put this together. Woo! My goodness. There are no problems too big to solve. Just people too small to solve them. Oh, you want to write that down. You want to write that down. You want to write that down. There are no problems too big to solve. Just people too small to solve them. Hear me. There are no problems in your marriage, your home, that are too big to solve. It's just the people are too small to solve that. That means what? It means this. You have to choose the cross. You have to choose the cross. Because this is that taking up your cross. Because the price for a great marriage, we must be like Jesus. Husbands and wives all around this room, we must be like. If you want a great marriage, we must strive to be like. Now, that don't mean like, don't do this. Tomorrow morning you wake up and your hubby does something kind of crazy and you go, well, that ain't being like Jesus. You need to be like Jesus. Don't start that. This is over time that we do with intentionality, and then all of a sudden God begins to lay a foundation. Everybody say firm foundation for your marriage. Because guess what? Everybody's watching your marriage. You don't know that? You got to be in a cave or a coma. Your teenage kids are watching your marriage. I'm not talking about being perfect. I remember doing something. I did some punishment with my son, and I said, hey, you getting 2 weeks, you ain't getting your cell phone, da 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 da. And my wife supported me, but behind the scenes, she says, honey, that might be a little bit too drastic for what he did. You know what I did? I went back in that room and I said, Chase, come here, sit down. I said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I think I went a little too far. Dads, it's powerful when you begin to do that in your home. And you may sit here today and you go, well, Brian, I didn't get that growing up. My daddy was the boss. He said went. You get to change that narrative. You get to change that narrative. My son, he so much more respects me. He's been with other buddies and they go, wow, I like the relationship you got with your dad. And he'll go, he's just real. So we make that mistake. We make mistakes. We do. But my wife honored me. We always try to do that. We honored each other in front of our kids. We wanted to be together. And then we talk about it behind the scenes. It brings a lot of peace in the home. So Jesus lost his life, right? And you and I get to gain forgiveness. And you get to gain eternity because of what? His sacrifice. Listen, because of that sacrifice, I have to ask you this very important question today. This would be a Jesus question to you today. Have you been born again? Are you born again because of what he did? Have you made a decision based on that sacrifice? Brian, what's the sacrifice? He died on the cross so you can be forgiven of your sins and know today that when you die, you will live with God for eternity. And Jesus says it like this. He calls this, you must be born again, John 3:3. He says, no man can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Jesus was saying, just as you have had a first birth, you have to have a second birth. And today can be your second birth date. My birth date in life was December 1st. But at 9 years old was my spiritual birth date, when I became born again at a 9-year-old age and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Was it bumpy since then? You betcha. But he's been with me every step of the way. He's been with me. I've not always been with him every step of the way, but he has with me. So it's important this morning. But maybe today it's simply this: to have a second birthday, it's you making a commitment to say, I want to start a relationship. I want to be born again today. How does that happen? It's simple as ABC. You'll never forget it. A, you just, I admit I'm a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died in my place. Not only to forgive me, but to change me from the, I feel the presence of the Lord, but changes me from the inside out. It's a new day. I'm not inviting you to a religion. I'm inviting you to a relationship. And then lastly, C, confessing him as Lord and Savior, you're saying, Jesus, you're in charge now. Would everyone in this room please bow your head? Close your eyes. Please, no one looking around. Maybe except for our audio guys and our worship folks. Maybe you're here today and you would say, Brian, I want to start that journey to know God. I'm going to talk about marriage in just a moment. I'll have two that we'll talk about altar times. But I want to start first with this. Brian, I want to start that journey to know God. Find freedom. Find purpose. Make a difference. Maybe you're here today and you want, I'm telling you, I felt it. I felt it this morning that there were some people on the verge of their seat. They couldn't put it into words, but they were saying, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of something because it's a mess right now in my life. Maybe you're here today and you were once so hungry for the things of God. Maybe I'm talking to a young person in this place today. You have just become cold to the things of God. I want to encourage you to respond. You're just away from God. I'm inviting you to have a relationship with Jesus this morning. It's called being born again. And I know this church believes in salvation and what Scripture says about salvation. If you're here today and you say, Brian, when you pray that born again prayer, but you want to be included, you want to be a part of that, you're saying today, I want to be a part of that prayer in the next 3 seconds. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, simply just to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you this morning to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. There's a reason. Just stay with me. But you say, Brian, put me in that prayer. I want to start that journey. Listen to me this morning without any hesitation. Would you just be right where you're at? Would you raise your hand just right now, all over the place? Keep it raised. I want to count. I want to count. Keep it raised high. Please, please. I want to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Keep them raised. 8, 9. God bless you, ma'am. Somebody's heart's pounding right now. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 4. Thank you, young lady. 14. Okay, everybody's hands down. Here's what I sense right now. I sense this right now. Your heart's pounding. You didn't raise your hand just now, but you're saying, my gosh, did I miss something? If that's you in this place, would you just lift your hand up real quickly? No one looking around and say, hey, Brian, thank you, young lady. Thank you, young lady. God bless. Thank you, young lady in the very far back. God bless you. He knows where you're at. Come on, everybody, stand to their feet, if you would, this morning. Pastor Harris, I just feel this. I want everybody in the church. We've got some folks that are rededicating to the Lord. They're recommitting to Jesus. And normally I do a lot of altar calls where I go, but today God just wanted to do something different. He's wanted to speak to some people in this room, and he has brought salvation to you. And here's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to pray. This is just an entry prayer. There's really not a prayer listed in your Bible, pray this to be saved. It says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's one way. That's a good way. But I'm going to help you with this. And I think we've helped people with this. But then after that, I'm going to encourage you. You get plugged into a church that's alive and well, like First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids. And let God raise you up. Let God disciple you. These people will love you. I don't even know all of you, but I just sense the love, the love. So let's pray. Can we help everyone that raised their hand? So we had 14, 15, 16 to raise their hand, 17 to raise their hand. Oh, in this place, all over this place, would you help me? Everybody repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I give you my life. Lead me and guide me. Teach me your ways. And Jesus, today is the day of my second birth. I will write this date down. And I will remember this day, that this was the day that the Lord had made. And he had me on his mind. Now, Jesus, I give you everything. And I love you. If you believe that, if you prayed that today by prayer of faith, that you believe Jesus, it's real simple. He died on the cross for you. He rose the third day. It's powerful. You need now to know. You got to get discipled. You got to get the word in you. It's going to happen over time. It doesn't happen just in one day. That's why you got to be part of a local church. My wife and I live in Pella. We're part of a local church. I don't pastor there, but I'm a part of the local church. I bless our pastor there. That's where I tithe. It's a big place. You got to be connected. Now, no one looking around. I just think this is awesome what God's doing. I want to talk to marriages just for a moment. Please, no one looking around. But if you'll do this, if you'll say this, real simple, if you'll grab this with me this morning, but you say, you know what, Brian? Today, I want to contend for a greater marriage. Today, I want to contend for a greater marriage. Because I want my children to be blessed. I want my children's children to be blessed. I want them to see how a hell. I'm not talking about, maybe you had a divorce last year or 4 years ago, you're remarried, but today's a new day. And you're saying, I'm going to contend for a greater marriage. If that's you, with Jesus' help, if that's you all around this place, if that's you, would you just lift your hands to the heavens? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Everybody open your eyes. Keep your hands up. Everybody open your eyes. Look around. You're contending for a greater marriage. You're contending. I want everybody to look around because here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to pray right where you're at. Begin to pray for your neighbors that are lifting their hands. Pray for, I'm praying for Sonny and Kay right now, God. Just bless their marriage. Oh, just bless them. If you're here today and you raise your hand and you're saying, man, I'm in a mess. We're on the verge of divorce. You need to get with Pastor Harris, and he'll get with me. We'll do everything we can to help you from our ministry. We got four couples right now in Pella that are just, it's a four-day, three-night, all-inclusive, and they're just, God's doing a work in their life. There is hope. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. There's nothing that you can't work out. I promise you. What if he cheated on me? There's God can meet you where you're at. I'm not saying you need to be a rug. Hear me. A foot rug, a foot mat. No. I counseled with a couple one time, and oh my heavens, he'd been married 7 or 8 times. It was a mess. He was cheating all over, and I said, you got to give that one to the Lord. there's a sense. God gave you a brain. But my brother and his wife, some of you that came to our marriage retreat not too long ago, I shared the story. My brother and his wife, I'm okay to share it, Dave. After 20 years of marriage, he had an affair on her. And they loved God. He was a board member of the church. I'm speaking to somebody. Maybe not in that category, but you're in a situation where you think it's too impossible for God to break through. My brother called me up and he said, I have done the most worst thing. And I said, Dave, you're going to have to tell Lori the truth. Because I knew Lori. The Bible says that the truth shall set you free. Now, he might get set free for real. And come on, live with me, and that was okay. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I said, Dave, you got to go to Lori. His pastor. God help us. We ain't got that kind of pastor here. Thank God. His pastor said, don't tell her. It'll kill her. Don't tell her. She don't need to know that. Oh, heavens. I did what you did. Just out loud. What? Help me, Jesus. I said, Dave, if you don't tell Lori, she ever finds out, it's over. You'll never have a... He went, he told, we prayed. Our home became a prayer intercession chamber. My wife and I, we were calling out to the things, I mean, just calling out to heaven for them. After about an hour and a half, he called me up weeping and crying. And I'm telling you something, this is going to help somebody here. I'm not saying you're going through this. Maybe you are. But something bad in your marriage is going to help you. I just feel this right now. God, this is an operating room, Pastor Harris. It's an operating room for Cedar Rapids. I'm telling you, I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. They're coming from the east, the west, the north, the south. I declare that in this house. Man, I just felt that. And the glory is going to get thicker and deeper in the days that were coming. In the day right here, it's going to happen. I just sense it. Wow. I just sense it. My brother called me up. He says, she's gone. Well, where'd she go? Oh, where's she gone? She hit me on my chest and she beat me up and she took off. And I said, we're praying, Dave. We're praying. 3 hours later, he calls me up. He's weeping. He said, she had come home after about 3 hours. And she walked in that living room and she looked at her husband, who's been her best friend. And he says, honey, the Holy Spirit won't let me leave you. And God began to do a work in their life. Today, they minister to hundreds of couples because of what they went through. It took them 5 years to get through that. He wore the t-shirt. He bought the t-shirt. He wore the t-shirt for a while. But God restored even better. I'm telling you, God, people are too small to fix it. God's way big, way big, way big. So if that's you this morning and you're in this place and you just say, hey, Brian, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. You got to get with your pastor. Get with him. Get with pastor. Get with his lovely bride, Sarah. And you got to get it bigger than you two. And don't look at it as a weakness. God's going to turn it around for you. I just believe that. I want to pray for every couple in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's some marriages right now that hard heart, God's cracking it right now. I just feel it. God's telling me he's working in your life. You're going to try to serve each other better. You're going to walk a different path. Maybe you gave your heart to Christ today. That's a big journey. God's doing a work in your life. I don't feel led to call you out. Normally I would. God's doing something, but you need to get some additional help. You're moving in the right direction. It's not just one couple. There's a couple that I sense. I don't know who you are, but today's a new day. You came to church bitter, deep down in you bitter. Well, my wife don't treat me like that, or my husband does this, or in your mind something happened this week. But right now you're saying, I'm giving it to God. I'm giving it to God. I'm letting God be God in my life and in my marriage. Just put it on the altar. Just put it on the altar this morning. Just put it on the altar. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you strengthen every marriage in this room. God, that you would just cause such a beautiful thing to be birthed into their hearts and lives today. God, they'll draw closer to you in such a wonderful way. God, I ask too, though, that you give, may couples be reminded to give each other some grace while they're walking through this. It's a new day. So husbands are going to walk out of here. They got things to think about. They're going to walk out of here and say, hey, I want to do something better. But maybe they do something to hurt you, tick you off. Give them some grace. Vice versa, wives, husbands, you need to give them grace. You need to give them grace. There's some times when I know I've messed up with Paul in some areas, and I sing this little song to her, and it just gets her every time. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And I'll say, she'll laugh. I mean, she'll be mad as a hornet. She'll laugh with that. Y'all say mad as a hornet in here? I don't know. South, we say that, mad as a hornet. But we just have fun with that. Lighten up. Lighten up. Jesus is coming soon. Somebody shout, Jesus is coming soon. Amen, amen, amen. Can we give Jesus a great big hand clap? He's a miracle-working God. He saved some souls today. Welcome to the kingdom. He saved some marriages today. Welcome.
praise. He's worthy.